I've been really excited because this series on the prophetic gift of the Holy Spirit has really been stirring up my desire to know Jesus more. And, you know, I feel like I've been in relationship with Jesus for a long time, but I just don't feel like I could ever stop knowing more about him. You know, like there's just such a pursuit in my relationship with him. And this series has been growing that in me and been helping me to just dive in more and give more to him and pursuing him and knowing him. Because as we've come to know, this is what it's all about. The very spirit of this gift, the very heart of this gift, and I don't mean the Holy Spirit of this gift, I mean just what drives this thing is the testimony of Jesus. It reveals who Jesus is. And from the first thing that God spoke in Genesis all the way through Revelation 22, the end of this thing, the Bible points to Jesus. Always it points to Jesus. He said that of himself. He said, you look at these scriptures because you think in them there'll be life, but they point to me. Come to me and you'll have life. And they point you on the route to me. And, you know, for John to have this revelation is part of the bigger revelation of, you know, these prophecies, these things that God speaks to us, and I truly believe and have experienced that he still speaks today to us. He does. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. God has told me things that I've shared with people that I shouldn't have known that have, you know, proven to be correct or have also proven to come to pass. And I'm like, okay, wow, how could it not be real? How could it not be for us today? And I'm so excited by it because what it does is it just reveals Jesus. And we have to get over the idea that it's some kind of weird mystic thing, right? It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit to us so that we can testify of who he is. That's the whole point of it. He wanted to give us power and ability to say the things that needed to be said to point people at him. Not at ourselves, not at each other, but at him. We looked at John the Baptist last week, and he's such a great example of our role as what I would say is like a new covenant prophetic people, because the whole purpose of his existence seemed to be to bear witness to and identify Jesus as the Messiah. And he was one of the ones that actually got to see Jesus in person and go, yes, that's him. I have myself seen him, and I have borne witness. I have testified that he is the Son of God. And we can look at his life and go, yeah, that's what we're called to do. That is the thing that we're meant for. And it's interesting because, you know, he was, like I mentioned, so weird we call him a baptizer. We know him for baptizing people, but his father prophesied over him that he would be called the prophet of the Most High God. What a label to get when you're born, you know, like you're going to be the prophet of the Most High God. And, you know, he came to prepare people's hearts to receive Jesus, but ultimately it was him who said, that guy, that's the Messiah. That is the Son of the Living God. And that was revealed to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of John. We've also looked at how Jesus gave his disciples this great mission to reveal him on the earth, to testify about him on the earth. And he told them that he would send them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would help them do this. And we talked about, you know, Jesus describing the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wouldn't come with his own initiative, and he wouldn't come with his own agenda, and he wouldn't have his own plan, and he wouldn't be saying what was on his mind. He was going to take what was given to him, and he was going to say it to us and through us. And Jesus, you know, talked about this in the book of John. In John 16, you can read about it, but I'm just going to say it real quick. It's verses 14 and 15. Whatever he hears, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine, and he'll declare it to you. There's a lot of declaring and proclaiming and speaking, and, you know, that's the thing that he's going to do. And Jesus told his disciples, he's going to give you the words to speak so you'll know what to say, and you'll know how to say it, and it won't be like stumbling over what to do and how to approach this thing or that thing. I'm actually going to give you the ability to effectively bear witness, point to me, testify about me. I want to walk in that because I've experienced Christ and I want others to experience him too. And because I've experienced Christ and received this revelation, right, I have come to know Christ. And it wasn't long after Jesus said these things to his disciples and he gave them the great commission, go to all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go, teach them everything that you've seen. And in Acts 1:8, part of that discourse is he says, and I will give you the power to be effective witnesses. Wait, power is going to come to you. Ability is going to come to you to be able to testify about me. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. The Spirit was poured out on them, and man, did they know how to witness and testify of who Jesus was. I mentioned this, I'm going to say it again. One of my favorite theologians, George Eldon Ladd, wrote this comment. It is not sufficient to be impressed by the miracles as wonders wrought by the power of God. They must also be seen as a revelation of who Jesus is. And I think too many times we get confused by these gifts of the Spirit because they bring a lot of attention to people. And they're like, whoa, and wow, and did that actually happen? Is that real? But if we look at them as a testament or a testimony or a witness or a manifestation of who Jesus is, it starts to tell us a lot. He wants to talk to us. He wants to heal us. He wants to set us free. Not so we can be awesome and prove how powerful we can be in God, but so we can show how powerful God is and how much he wants to witness into this world of who he is. He wants the world to know him. He wants every single person to stop running in the opposite direction of him, turn around, and go that way towards him. And for those of us who have, it isn't weird. We're like, it's like salmon swimming upstream all the time. And people are like, wow, why are you going that way? Because that's life, right? That's hope. That's destiny. That's Jesus. And I think that this gift is so powerful because it's given by the Holy Spirit as a primary way in which we, the body of Christ, like John the Baptist, can bear witness to the presence, the work, and the words of Jesus. I can see or I hear from the Lord, and I can confirm what God is doing on the earth for other people to know it as well. So today I want to ask the question, why? Why would we have this? Why would this be so important? Why does he want the world to know who he is? Why do we testify of who he is? And I believe it's so the world can know him. And not just know about him. I think there's too much of knowing about Jesus going on and not enough of actually experiencing Christ. Knowing him in an experiential way. Experiencing his love. Experiencing the freedom found in him. Experiencing the joy that becomes our strength, experiencing his peace, his provision, experiencing relationship with him. Because this thing is all about relationship. And we're going to talk about that. And I want to start at the very beginning, because I feel like at the very beginning, God created everything just as it was supposed to be. We can see how God wanted relationship with us. Not because he was in need, not because he was lacking something, but because he was overflowing. He was filled with an abundance that he wanted to pour into, right? That is the picture of God. And so I look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and I just think there's some clues in here. And you think, wow, this is not a great verse. It is a great verse because it tells us a lot about what God was wanting from relationship with Adam and Eve. And basically, what had just happened is, you know, they had just been deceived by the serpent and they ate the fruit and they realized that they didn't have any clothes on and they were freaking out. And a lot of things just changed all of a sudden for them, didn't it? And this is what I love. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And I believe this verse gives us a couple clues to the close relationship that Adam and Eve shared with God. One is, they heard the sound of him in the garden. They knew his presence. They knew when he was around. I don't think this was some, you know, like random, all of a sudden God decided I would show up in the garden because sin happened. I think he regularly came to them, and I think they knew him. He was familiar to them. They were in relationship with him. They understood his presence. They understood his movement. They understood what it was to be in close proximity to God. The second thing is that God was expecting to spend time with them. I think I can see that in here. He was expecting to spend time with them. And I think in their new realization, they were naked and they hid themselves from the presence of the Holy One. Right? Because they went, whoa, we've disobeyed and we don't feel the same. And when they disobeyed, they were no longer confident in their relationship with God, were they? And relationship was broken, for sure. My friend, Dr. Ron Larson, I'm going to quote him on this. He wrote a great book called Seeing Jesus, and it comes from that, and I really recommend it. Everything that made life work was about being in close proximity with God. It was only in that close proximity that we really understand what it means to be in his image on the earth. It is only by virtue of that closeness to God that we can accurately represent the king and advance his kingdom. I believe that God was not withholding anything from Adam and Eve. I just think that he wanted them to get all of the knowledge that they were going to get in the context of relationship with him, not outside of that. You have to have children to understand this. It's so much better when my kids get information in the context of their relationship with me and how I can put that into context for them in the broader world than when they get information that from other people and they don't have any kind of context in which to put it. And all of a sudden, all of that becomes very confusing to them and their innocence is lost because they don't understand how it works in the big system. Does that make sense? Again, it'll be hard if you've never had a kid. And it's so much tougher when they come to you and you're like, you knew that? You shouldn't know that yet. It will come to you, right? It will come to you. I'm not withholding information. I'm just saying you're not ready because we have relationship. And I know you almost better than you know yourself. No, definitely better than you know yourself. And I want to build you up into this world in the right context. See what I mean? And I believe that that's what God wanted to do. I don't think God's like up there like, you can have this, but you can't have that. I just think he was like, guys, will you obey? Will you trust? Will you let me and our relationship carry us forward? Well, they couldn't do it. It was too hard. But I think it gives us a clue that God wanted relationship with them and he wanted to divulge everything within relationship with them. But this act of disobedience and this breaking of trust, doesn't breaking of trust break relationship? It does. But I believe that God is at work all the time to restore relationship. And he did that through his son. He gave us all of that back. I think this gift of prophecy gives us insight into the wisdom in things unseen and things that are hidden from the natural eye, just like what Adam and Eve were wanting. They wanted to grab for that without relationship with Jesus. And I would say that this gift, this thing that God has given through the power of his Holy Spirit, is 100% meant for us to understand and to know things in the context of relationship with Jesus. Outside of that context, it makes no sense to us, and it could become dangerous. Close proximity to Jesus. Jesus came to this earth to redeem our relationship with God. And before the fall, Adam and Eve, and they had open and unhindered relationship with God. But once Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship with God changed. One time, Darby asked me, why did God only speak to a few people in the Old Testament? And I told her, I said, you know, I believe it was to demonstrate that Christ was the only way to the Father. It gave an example that you could only go through this route to get to God. It wasn't open to everybody, was it? You couldn't, on your own, go get God. If you wanted to hear God's voice, you had to go to someone who had been anointed by God and had the Holy Spirit upon them, and it was always the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And isn't it interesting that Jesus is called all three of those things for us? And in Christ, we have open relationship with God. But outside of Christ, what did Jesus say? The only way to the Father is through me. The only way to know the Father is through me. If you've seen God, you've seen me. I am the way. I am the truth. Right? So through relationship with Jesus Christ, we have open access to the Father. And Jesus poured out his Spirit on all mankind. Anybody that wants it gets it. To open the relationship with those who would believe. And I think we need to recognize that under this new covenant, we get to experience constant Maranatha, which means the Lord is at hand all the time. He's always present with me. He's always right there, ready to commune with me, to talk with me, to show me who he is and help me show others who he is. Jesus is personal. He is present. We don't have to pray for him to come. He's here. He's right here. We just need to recognize that he's present. There are a lot of people practicing his presence. I think we should practice being aware that he is present. I don't have to ask him to come into the room. He came with me. Christ in me. Christ in you. I love that. He came with you. We just have to become aware that he's present. Relationship with him is personal. Relationship with Jesus Christ is a covenant relationship, a committed relationship. And we're bound to him when we receive his rule and reign in our lives. When he truly becomes Lord in our lives, I become a slave to what I obey, don't I? I am bound to him. And our relationship to Jesus is everything that makes any of this worthwhile and any of it even possible. And my goal should not to be to go get this gift so that I can just have it, but for relationship with Jesus. He wants to talk to you, and he wants to talk to other people that you know. Because I think there are a lot of people that don't see him, and they don't know him, and he wants them to see who he is and know who he is. And because of my very personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I get to recognize his voice and know when he speaks and how he speaks and often why he speaks, because I'm in relationship with him. My sheep know my voice. That requires relationship. And I think the point of the prophetic and the importance of desiring this gift is centered and focused completely around communication in our relationship with Jesus. I don't believe God calls us into ministry. He calls us into relationship, deeper relationship. And out of that relationship, ministry flows. And I don't know if you've ever been in a very long relationship, but relationship without communication is no relationship. It's real hard. I think Moses is a great person to look at as someone who had an awesome relationship with God. He saw God in ways no one else had seen him. And one time, his brother and sister are a little frustrated with the fact that he's gotten so much God time. And they're like, you know, you're not the only one who hears from the Lord. You know, you're not the only prophet here. You're not the only person God talks to. You're not the only one. And then they started railing on him because he didn't marry a Hebrew woman. They were just frustrated, and they were taking it out on him. But if we look at Numbers chapter 12, starting in verse 6, I love what happens. God comes down out of heaven, and he doesn't go into the tent, the tabernacle. He calls them out of that thing. He said, come out here. And they all have to come because they know God's calling them out there. And God is going to decide this thing. And this is what God says. Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, or I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, and with him I speak mouth to mouth. Or you could say face to face. Clearly, not in riddles. and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Doesn't this sound like throwdown language? Like, you're messing with my friend. Why are you messing with my friend? Yeah, I understand. There are some prophets among you, but I don't really have super intimate relationship with them. And when I do speak to them, I'm usually in a parable of some kind, and a riddle that they need to go sort out. Not with Moses. We talk face to face. We have open communication. This verse has been a really powerful, it's been very powerful in forming my understanding of relationship with the Lord and what it means to hear from him, and the fact that this, a lot of the clarity that we seek and a lot of the understanding that we want, like Adam and Eve, is meant to be had in relationship with Jesus. Moses had a really awesome, he saw the form of the Lord. Not the whole perfect picture because he couldn't have taken it, but he saw the form of the Lord. Jesus knows us. He created us. He loves us so deeply, and he designed each of us with a specific purpose of the greatest fulfillment in him. And he wants us to know him. And out of knowing him, we come to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. We have to love him. And if we want to walk in intelligent service to the Lord, we have to be in relationship with him. Because out of that relationship flows the clarity and the accuracy and the authority and the ability that we need to really change hearts and change minds about who Jesus is. It's all about love. All about love. Love is an eternal thing. God so loved the world. That speaks of relationship. Isn't it amazing how the most powerful verses in Scripture, the ones that are meant to restore us, not just so we can get into heaven, but to actually restore us back into relationship with Jesus, are all around how much God loves his creation, how much he loves you and I, that he would put down all of his God cards and come to the earth and humble himself and become a servant, all the way to being obedient into death, not thinking that equality with God was a thing to be grasped. Like, get that in your minds. He loved us so much. Everything he's doing for us, especially around any gift of the Holy Spirit, is to open people's hearts and minds to knowing him and how much he loves them, how much he's already working on their behalf, how much he's already moving all the pieces for them. For them. I would love for everyone in this area to know the love of Jesus Christ, but they gotta hear about him. They gotta experience him and see him. And how do we do that effectively? And God has equipped us and given us the ability if we'll tap into it. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said, "For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then we're going to see face to face." Just like Moses, mouth to mouth. "Then we're going to be face to face. And then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known." He saw that God fully knows who he is. And we, as we pursue our relationship with Jesus, can begin to fully know who God is. And of course, we'll never really know till we get in his presence in heaven. But I believe that from glory to glory, we're transformed into his image and we begin to know him more and more and more as we pursue him. So I've talked a lot about relationship and the importance of relationship and why God loves us. Well, here's what I believe. I believe that just as the prophetic always reveals Jesus, it also brings us back into relationship with Jesus. It yokes us or binds us to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Another message for another day, but I'm trying to get my head around how a device designed for work could bring me rest. But here's the thing, God's doing all the heavy lifting. I just get to get in alongside him and go where he's going and learn from him. That's what Jesus said, I'm learning. The yoke was an apprenticing device, big ox, little ox. We work together, but one of them's doing most of the work, and that's Jesus. And that's why we can find rest in that. But I want to say today that to truly live our best life, the life that is best for us, we have to bind ourselves to Jesus in relationship with him. And Jesus is always our best example. He was yoked to his Father through the Holy Spirit. And we can see this where he said, I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, but not to do what I want. Jesus said all the time, I only do what my Father's doing. I say what my Father is saying. How? Except that he was in communication with his Father, that his Father was inspiring his words, that his Father was inspiring his actions through the power of the Holy Spirit that was on him. And Jesus said to his disciples, everything I'm doing, yeah, you too, and then some. And then he poured out that Spirit and said, I'm going to do this for everybody who believes so that they can keep, he wants the world to know him. And it first starts with you knowing him, and then they know him. And I think what's amazing about this gift is look at the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. They were led by a cloud and fire. Do you realize that God restrained them to a path? He yoked them to himself. Even if he was walking in circles so he could solve some problems with them, they were still chained to him by this very Holy Spirit thing that was happening. I find that fascinating. He didn't let them wander aimlessly. He led them every step of the way. And I believe that is exactly what he wants to do for us. And isn't it also interesting that, you know, they could have, sure, well, the promised land is right there. But that's not where God was leading until they got it right. Amen? And so as they were walking through this thing, God continually led them and he yoked them, led by the Spirit, restrained to their God. I want to stay alongside him so I can learn from him and so he can take me exactly where he always wanted to take me. If we're led by the Spirit, we got to walk by the Spirit. And by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're set free from the mundane and defiling junk of this world, right? Set free to go live our best supernatural life in Jesus. And that's what I want to do. When we're yoked to Jesus, his way becomes our way. His way is not harder, and his way does not require more striving. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because he does the heavy lifting. I think as a prophetic church, we're given the ability to pull people out of the ditch, out of the mud, and get them back on the path yoked to Jesus and send them off into their glorious destiny in him. I've seen it happen, and it's amazing. It's amazing when people feel stuck, right? I felt stuck before. And then someone comes along and says, hey, God wants you to know something. And I'm like, ah, yes, that is exactly what I needed to hear. I got to get back on the right track. Oh my goodness, I've been going completely wrong or I'm just stuck in the ditch. I'm down in the muck, right? And this, like, what a powerful thing it is when you don't realize and when you don't see what's really going on and somebody else can come in and encourage you in the Lord and say, you know what? This is what God is doing. I see Jesus at work in this thing. Let's get you back on the road to your destiny in him. And even as believers, we need that. But there are a bunch of people who are just going plain in the wrong direction, and they don't know that Jesus is over here. I believe that the prophetic restrains us or yokes us to Jesus, and we need a revelation of this. We need to see and get a revelation of Jesus' insight and plans into what he has purposed for each one of us. Proverbs 29:18 is a really significant verse where there is no prophetic vision, Notice what he says there, where there is no prophetic vision. People cast off restraint. They walk away from Jesus. They walk away from being yoked to Jesus because they don't look down the road. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I think there's two kinds of people in the world. There are people who just are in the weeds and have a machete and they're just trying to cut a path and they have no idea where they're even going. And then there's people who are always on the mountaintop with binoculars on. And they're missing all the things around them and they're trying to walk through life with binoculars on and they're just stumbling all over themselves because they're living in the future. And I think there's a balance where God says, look, I want to give you a picture of what's ahead, but I want to lead you step by step through this process to get there. And that's where we have to yoke ourselves to Jesus. God can show me something about your future and it could be brilliant and awesome and you could run headlong chasing after that thing with only binoculars on and you will trip over everything on the way. Have you ever tried to walk with binoculars on? Like, you can't do it. You take them off and you go, we're headed that way. I see a hope. God said, I want to give you a hope for your future. He said, you're headed that way. And then he takes us by the hand, right? He yokes us to himself and says, if you want to go there, go with me. He doesn't send us off in our own direction. He'll never send us in a direction that doesn't lead us right into relationship with him, ever. When we moved here to start this church and God spoke so clearly, so bazillions of times, I was like, Lord, you're going to have to do this. And I felt such, I don't even know how to explain it. I just felt so drawn to him. I was like, I will never need you more than I do need you right now. And my relationship with him has grown as he's taking me down this process. And what's so cool is that, yes, he yokes me to him. But you have to understand, he's also yoked to me. Let that imagery sink in. God says, yeah, bind yourself to me, and I will take you into the thing that I've shown you. I will take you in the direction I've always had planned and purposed for you specifically. But in doing that, he's also committing to us. We're committing to him, but he's as committed to his promises more so than we are. I've bailed on some of God's promises before. He's never bailed on his. He's always standing there waiting for me to get back in. Shall we continue? Shall we continue? And what's so cool is that I can know that if I'm binding myself in this yoke with Jesus and I'm restraining myself in a prophetic vision that he's given me, I can count on the fact that he's right there with me to do all the work, all the heavy lifting, and take us in the direction we're going. I'm telling you right now, everything that God has ever spoken to you, everything he's spoken over you, shown you in a dream, a vision, however God speaks to you, he speaks in tons of ways, but however God has spoken to you, he has committed to seeing that thing happen. He is committed to doing what he said he would do. And if you want to see those things happen, you get right next to him and he will literally walk you into them. He will lead you right into your glorious future in him. You don't have to know the way. You can just walk with him and he'll show you the way. And I think too many times we're pursuing purpose. We're pursuing vision. We're pursuing a gift, a talent, a person, not Jesus. But if we pursue Christ, we'll get all of the stuff that we were hoping for. And we'll live the life that's best for us, the one that he designed us for, the one that he built you to live. And I really believe that prophetic vision has the effect of bringing Christ into focus so that we can follow him. And it happens for us individually and it happens for us corporately. He can give direction to a church. He can give direction to a nation. He's done it many times. But he can also give direction to us individually. And I believe that God wants to use us as people to help give that direction to those who are lost. Isn't it amazing when someone shows up and says, yeah, just go down that way and take a left and you'll get where you're going. If someone can come along and impart some revelation to me and say, you know, the thing you've been looking for, God just showed me the thing you've been looking for is that way and to the left and take another left and you'll see it by that big tree or whatever. You know, like, that's what we need, isn't it? I hope this is making sense. Everything the Lord has promised is found on the path of relationship with Him. Prophetic restrains us to Christ in relationship, but it also restrains Christ to us. I want to say this again, because His word is His bond. He is faithful to His word. And I think C.S. Lewis was spot on when he described Jesus and how He is, how God exists around time. And he gave the analogy of a white piece of paper with a line through it all the way. And this edge of the paper is the beginning, and this edge of the paper is the end. And imagine if that piece of paper was in this room, and this room is God. Right? And we exist in God, in time, that He has marked out for this whole world, from the moment He created it to the moment He's going to change everything. And we're somewhere along the journey. And so the macro version of this is we're somewhere in this big, long, historical thing that God can see all the beginning and end of it all the time. But let's take that to the micro personal level. God knows your beginning and He knows your end. He knows when you were born. I believe He knows when you're going to join Him in heaven. And what C.S. Lewis was arguing is that God is present in your entire life, all the time, every time. But maybe 20 years past you, God is still present there because it's outside of Him. See what I'm saying? It's a piece of paper. He can look and see the whole thing all the time. But He's also present in your present, and He's also present in your future. What if God can say, I'll just use this as an example. David, I want to show you something about Caitlin's past that relates to her present right now and how I want to take her through that present situation into her future in me because I got a plan. And down the road here, I want to do some really awesome stuff with her. Problem is, she's having a hard time seeing it right now. She's having a hard time trusting that I'm going to take her there. She's having a hard time believing that I can do it. And I want to show her, I want to speak into her moment right now to show her how that thing from her past is getting all fixed up right now in her present. And I'm going to take her out of that thing, through this thing, and into that thing. I believe God can do that. He did it all the time with Israel. Remember when? Look at where you are now. Here's where we want to go. He did it all the time. Is He different now than He was then? I don't think so. I just think now He can speak to us personally. Why? Because when Jesus died and He became the very way in which we are now in open relationship with God, because the curtain that hid God's presence from the world was ripped wide open. And God said, come. Because of my Son, you get into Christ, and I have an intimate and personal relationship with the begotten of the Father. And if I'm in Christ, I'm in Jesus, I'm in relationship with God. And this is what Paul said. Who can search a person except his own spirit? I don't know anything about any of you. I know tidbits and Facebook tells me nothing. But you know every place you've been, everything you've done, everything you've thought, everything you've ever dreamed that isn't fulfilled. The depths of who you are is only searched by the Spirit in you. And I'm talking about your soul. And God says, I'm going to take my Spirit that can search the depths of who I am,
and put it in you.
Think about that. That's a big thought. And Paul said it, 1 Corinthians. Who can instruct the Lord? Nobody. But we have the mind of Christ. We can know his thoughts. I can know his thoughts about me, and I can know his thoughts about you as he reveals them to me. And he does this because he wants us to know who he is so we can be in relationship with him. I'll end with this. I, a long time ago, was asked to write a training on the gift of prophecy and the prophetic gift and what that looks like and what it should mean. And so, of course, I was like, I'll try. And I sat down to write this thing, and I was trying to think how to tell people how to do it. And I couldn't think how to do it. And I was like, Lord, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what process or steps, or do this and that'll happen and causes and effects and all this kind of stuff. And I was so irritated and so mad and so frustrated. And I was on my way to run an errand. And I just was like, forget it. I'm not going to do it now because I can't. And I was just driving, listening to some worship music or something, just going, Lord, I give up. And he spoke to me and he said, don't teach people how to do this. Teach them how to be in relationship with me. And then it will come. And I was like, duh. That's how this works. We get in relationship with Jesus. We get to know him. We get to understand him. We hear him. We know his voice because we know him. And what I've been teaching over these last 3 weeks, and we'll end with next week, is all this stuff that God started to just flow out of me because I was like, yeah, this gift is based on the fact that we are meant to testify of Jesus. It always reveals Jesus. Every time God tells me something about you, it's not so that I can look cool. It's so that you can know what he knows, that he's in it with you. And every time he tells me something about anything, it's so that we can see him at work and we can point him out and go, I'm revealing to you that that's Jesus. And it always brings us, it's meant to bring us into better relationship with him and to exalt him into the highest place. This is what we'll talk about next week. He wants to be Lord in our lives. And if we're making about anything else but those things, I feel like we're missing it entirely. It's about relationship. And my relationship with Jesus is what fuels every gift I'm given by him. My relationship with Jesus is what fuels the fruit of the Spirit showing up in my life. I want this church to be a church of people who God can use to help get some folks out of the ditch, who God can use to help some folks turn and go the right way. And what's funny is, even as believers, we still get off the path a little, don't we? And isn't it awesome when someone can come along and say, you know what? I want to get you back with Jesus. Quit focusing over here and get focusing back on Jesus so that you can be led right into the very thing that he's planned for you and purposed for you.